Hi, this is Spencer Keeble. I'm a student at the University at Albany with the School of Public Health. Today, I'm joined by David Lewis, an associate professor and program director of urban studies and planning with the University at Albany, and also one of the main organizers for a week-long conference that is going on the week of February 22nd. On racial justice and the planning of neighborhoods. So thank you for joining us, David, to talk about this really cool conference.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Spencer. I do appreciate the media exposure for this. It is clearly a critical topic in our current times.
Yeah, I thought it was so interesting. In these virtual times, this conference takes place over the course of 5 days. So I think that's really cool for a virtual conference, and there's 7 presentations, including a keynote. So could you tell us about some of these presentations that will be happening over the course of this week?
The idea of trying to promote racial justice in housing, I'm trying to recenter the issues of race and environmental justice, and talking about transportation, economic development. All of these are subfields within the field of urban and regional planning. And so that's how these subject areas got defined. Not all areas of planning are represented here, but transportation, economic development, housing, the environment, and then our tools for planning are also addressed. In thinking in public health issues, and public health and planning have a very long relationship. In fact, the first zoning laws in the United States were around public health in New York City in terms of trying to segregate uses so that housing wouldn't be right adjacent to factories with their polluting smoke and other health hazards that they created. And so those were the areas that were selected to focus on. And the keynote session is about sort of framing the issue of, like, if we really want to plan for racial justice, what is that going to look like? And so the entire conference is set up on that principle of not just having an academic point of view, but getting practitioners of planning and community members also. And so getting all members at the table to have a conversation about what does planning for racial justice look like. And then we tackle that through these into these much smaller lenses. And so if you look at the keynote session, you'll see that they're one of our co-sponsors, the Orbital Development Corporation. Its executive director, Arlie Way, will be speaking. And we have partnered with Arbor Hill and other community groups in Albany with our regional planning program to do service learning projects and conduct planning activities for them. And so this conference is designed to kick off a series of new projects that we'll be working with Arbor Hill, and then hopefully expand access to planning education for people of color. And ultimately, we'd like to build a center for planning for racial justice and make Albany a center for that activity. So other speakers then are Nasiba Elmi and Tanya McGee. Those are both graduates of our Master's in Regional Planning program. Nasiba now works in the Department of Environmental Conservation in New York State, and Tanya is a planner in Chenango County, as well as she's pursuing her PhD in public affairs at the Binghamton University. And so they were inspirational in the creation of this when they gave, with another MRP graduate, Lizette Lewis, who they're all three young women of color, who did a presentation in upstate planning last October. And the session was called Planning Why Black. And when I attended that session, the question came up was, what can we do at Albany to help fill this gap that they had identified? And I brought this to the Geography and Planning Student Association, and which is the department I teach in, Geography and Planning, and suggested that we might want to think about how we could support more people of color in planning. And that was the origins of the conference. We started to talk about how that would be and what that should look like. And that was in October. In December, we had started reaching out to potential speakers and started putting the conference together through January. And starting February 1, we had a product that we were ready to sort of talk about publicly and started to advertise, and we now have over 500 people who will be participating over the course of the 7 sessions, 250 unique individuals. And so the response has been pretty overwhelming. It clearly shows that there's an appetite. This is fertile ground for new intellectual pursuits, and certainly fertile ground for our communities to consider how we might address these issues.
Wow, that's so exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm glad that a lot of people are turning out, especially given, I don't know all the history, but I've definitely heard plenty of stories of environmental justice issues in Albany and in the region. Absolutely. So definitely a great time to do so and a great place to do so. And so, David, at this conference for the planning of racial justice, what are some topics or events that you think are going to come up?
I am a moderator for a session and I'm introducing panelists. What I would say is, though it's fairly obvious if you know anything about sort of planning history or the history of the United States in general, that racism is implicit and explicit in much of our law. And, you know, for example, when we created in 1934, when in the New Deal, the progressives created the Home Loaner Corporation with the National Housing Act in 1934, it explicitly forbid the Home Loaner Loan Corporation from lending to people of color. Clearly, that's created housing segregation, as white people were able to move into single family homes built in the suburbs, and those of people of color were left behind in our urban places. And so that's just one example. When you talk about environmental racism and environmental justice, the port of Albany, a location where who lives next to the port of Albany and all its diesel fumes? Well, that's clearly it's poor people of color. Who lives near the railroad tracks where the dangerous chemicals and trains that are coming out of the bulk and oils? Well, that's people of color and poor people. When we look at the highways in Albany, they don't bisect, they don't bisect and dissect different neighborhoods of white affluence out in West Albany. They're in the South End, they're in Auber Hill. Henry Johnson Boulevard cut that neighborhood in half. And so all these issues will come up in different elements. I mean, clearly the stress of living in these neighborhoods have public health consequences, the pollution in these neighborhoods have public health consequences. And so it's hard to separate these things into different, sort of fields of planning. And so this is why it wasn't just a one-day thing, but we wanted to get perspectives from as many as possible of these lenses to contribute to the dialogue.
Great. And just for some perspective, how long have you been studying planning?
Oh, that's a really good question. Officially, 1995, I started my degree for a master's in city and regional planning at Rutgers University. But I was a builder beforehand, and I've been a activist in efforts to prevent sprawl and the loss of farmland in New Jersey. And so in terms of, when would I start studying it and when I was active, again, I would suggest that when I became aware of, as a young adult, my late teens, early 20s, I became aware of how land use was impacted through politics. I would say that was my first real introduction. But studying to be an educator and to be a professional planner, that was 1995. And I've been here at UAlbany from the year I graduated with my PhD in 2003.
Awesome. Really cool. And you said you were involved in land use activism at a young age. How have social justice issues in general regarding in planning, what are the trends that have sort of come about or changed in the past few decades?
I would say historically, the field of planning was actually really quite implicitly, if not explicitly racist. I mean, there was such a thing called racial zoning back in the 30s, which was constitutionally banned. And then they found workarounds with things like, they called it economic zoning. And then we had exclusionary zoning, where we would prevent multifamily homes from being built in certain neighborhoods. And so that began to segregate people on the basis of race and class. And so historically, what I would say is that the field of planning had been driven a lot by sort of implicit social biases, including race. And then it got driven a lot by this sort of idea of modernity and the idea that cities were machines, and then thinking about how cities could be planned scientifically. And this was a trend in planning in the late 40s, 50s, and 60s. And then in the late 60s, we saw what became known as advocacy planning, which was communities pushing back against this. And since then, planning has been more on a trajectory of being more progressive, though I would argue that, and I think this is, the panelists would agree with me, that the aspirational goals of planning for sustainability, planning for all residents of a community, why they're aspirational and desirable, and it is the code of ethics for planning, to plan for everybody, to be the voice of the voiceless, to plan with its consideration of its impact for seven generations, that's not always been the case. And so I think planning has gotten slowly more progressive since the 70s, but we certainly have not achieved the aspirational goals.
Mm. Thanks for the historical perspective. And what's something you are looking forward to learning more about at this conference?
Oh, well, my area of expertise is more around economic development issues and environmental issues. And so I have lots of gaps in knowledge about housing. I certainly have plenty of gaps in a whole new field of visceral geographies and body mapping and how those tools might be used in planning or exploratory. This is ground that was broken, oh, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago, people started writing about this. And so it's being used. And so I'm interested in that session. I have certainly understand a bit about transportation, but I don't feel as though I'm a transportation expert, so I'm looking to learn from that. And I do think that our keynote speaker, Dr. Ruth Wilson Gilmore, who's got a very broad, I mean, she's been working in the area of abolition geography and abolition prison movements and how they're connected to the economy for, I don't know, 30, 40 years now, and has been a community activist and helping to organize and develop and learning from her broad breadth of knowledge and experience is certainly something that I'm looking forward to.
That's awesome, David. I'm glad that your voice is on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Excited to meet you. And just to make sure listeners get the message about this conference, what's a quick summary of the essence of this conference about planning for racial justice?
The essence is to try to achieve the objectives of what we say we believe in, and which is, if we really do believe in trying to live sustainably and live socially and racially just society, then there are ways that we can plan for that. And what are they? And trying to learn from our history to improve our future is the ultimate goal. That on the ground, we want to see real change. We want to see investments in this area. This is the role of government. Government is supposed to be about the welfare of its citizens and not just the citizens who are white.
Awesome. I also want to ask, what are some of the dates of the conference?
The opening session is tomorrow, February 23rd at 5 p.m. It carries on through Saturday. There are two sessions on Wednesday, one session on Thursday, one session on Friday, and two more sessions on Saturday.
If somebody wants to sign up to attend one of these,
they can go to planningforracialjustice.com, and the event is free. And so you just need to click on the register button and join the conference.
That's awesome. Thank you for your time, David Lewis. I'm looking forward to this conference and hopefully we can talk again soon.
I hope to too, Spencer. Take care and be safe.